right, so this is a filler episode. So if you're listening to this, it means Rob's basement is still under construction and he cannot record. So we are doing a filler episode. And what better topic for a filler episode than to talk about filler games?
Yes, I love this idea. So it's pretty much games that, yeah, you have some time to spare, but you don't want to dive into a game, a new game, I guess. Right? That's the basic idea of this.
Yeah, the basic idea is you have a little bit of time that you're just looking to waste. And it's a game or games that you go to often for that. So, like, you're standing in line, you're stuck in a long grocery store line, or, you know, you just need a 5-minute mental break. Or most of the time for me, it's like, I just need like a 5-minute break. And here's what I'm going to fill it with.
For most of the time for me, it's for some reason my brain decided to wake me up at some weird hour at night. And yeah, I'm just not going to go back to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are purely time filler games.
So I guess let's do I do one, you do one kind of thing.
Yeah, let's do that.
So I'll start with Microsoft Solitaire, the most boring pick, except I play it all the time. Not at work, but on my phone, on my Android phone. I just love the Microsoft Solitaire version of it. I play the Klondike game on it, and it's one of those few games where I could just turn my brain off and play over and over again, play for a minute, play for hours. I think we've all played Microsoft Solitaire at one point, so not much to dive in on.
I've speculated that Microsoft Solitaire is the most played video game of all time.
Probably. And it's strange that when I pick up a different Solitaire game, there was a while before Microsoft released this on non-Microsoft devices. They just aren't as good, and I can't put my finger on it, you know?
Yeah. There's something, something about the interface that just isn't right.
What's your first one?
So I'm going to go with a game you would not, most people would not think of as a filler game. And that is Final Fantasy VI on Android. So way back when I got like an Android or Samsung Galaxy 5, one of the first games I got for it was Final Fantasy VI, because I enjoy Final Fantasy VI. Mm-hmm. And whenever I just had a few minutes to kill, I would play a couple minutes. You know, I know the story well enough that I can quit playing and rejoin after a couple of days. But most of it was spent just doing like leveling. Like I eventually had a party where every character was level 99, which is kind of good at the end of the game, you know, when you have to split the party up into like three groups to have pretty powerful characters. And then I upgraded to Galaxy 7 and reinstalled Final Fantasy 6 and more or less went through the same process again, where over a very long period of time, a year, 2 years, however long, just slowly kind of play through the story 5 or 10 minutes at a time. And it was an airplane game a lot. There's a lot of like airplane time. Anytime, or a lot of airport time. On the actual plane, I make an effort to sleep and usually fail. But yeah, a lot of airport time on Final Fantasy VI.
Plays fine without a controller?
Yeah, it plays great. Yeah, it has on. So there's no D-pad on it, right? You're actually controlling all through. There's like menus, and then it's like a virtual D-pad. Like wherever you're pressing on the screen, like a D-pad will appear and you can just start moving left, right, up, down. Again, you don't need precision controls for Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
It plays absolutely great. The one thing is it uses the like new cartoony sprites. You know, they replace the 16-bit sprites with like cartoony ones. So it looks a little tacky. But it's at the end of the day, it's the same game, and it's just kind of fun to sit down and crank through a few levels.
Mm-hmm. My next one is Civilization Revolutions 2. So this is on not only handheld systems, but I think it's on like Wii U and stuff like that, maybe. 2 is a definite upgrade, but it's so old now that my Android device, I loaded it the other night again, and I haven't played this in a while actually, this has been coded for old versions of Androids. Do you still want to play it? And I said yes, and it crashed twice, but then it worked fine and never crashed again. So very strange, but yeah, so this is a light Civilization game, and they did a great job with just kind of finding the core mechanics of Civilization that makes it a Civilization game and just sticking to that. You know, there's no religion or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You still have your, you know, domination victory, your science victory, all that kind of thing. And yeah, really well done. My only complaint on it is that it is a bit of a battery hog. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you could get in, start a civilization, and, you know, turn off your phone and you're fine. You know, get back to it whenever. Have you ever played any of those?
No, I've never been into the Civilization games. Some of the reviews here on the Play Store complain that the game is too easy. And that's almost a selling point for me, because if it's a game you're just going to have on your phone and, you know, play in small doses, I would rather have something that's too easy.
I only play it in King mode. I go higher than that and I get dominated, so... Maybe I'm just not very good.
Yeah, I would definitely only play this type of game in easy mode, because I've never been really super good at this type of game.
It's the kind of game where to be good at it, it has to be the game you play for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not going to be my thing, but I understand the appeal of the games. I just have never played them too much.
What do you got next?
Next one, this is another kind of strange one, but Shanghai 2 on the NES. I don't know why, of all the various games called Shanghai, this is the one I tend to go back to. But this is really like I've been working on something difficult and I need to, you know, clear my head for 5 minutes kind of game. Because there's a little bit of strategy to these games, but really it's just, you're just matching tiles.
Okay, I've never played, this is Mahjong, right?
Yes, Mahjong.
Yeah. I've never played it. Ever.
Yeah. I mean, all you do is there's a big pile of tiles and you just have to match. There's four of each tile and you have to match pairs of them. And you can only remove tiles if they're, you know, free on three sides.
Hmm.
So pretty simple concept. You do have to, there's a little bit of strategy because you can get into an unwinnable state on a lot of these boards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the extent of the strategy. Again, I don't know why I like the NES one other than it's just easy to play and...
good interface.
I mean, there's versions with better graphics and all that stuff. Like, there's definitely better versions. It's just I tend to fire up the this old Nintendo one all the time.
Yeah, there's a TurboGrafx CD version here.
Yeah, I might even own it.
Looks exactly... Oh, no, it does look a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think pretty much anyone can make a game called Shanghai. I don't know if that's like a brand, like Tupperware. Like, I think it's a generic enough thing that anybody can just make them. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, yeah. All right. What is my next one I put down here was SimCity. Again, I'm mostly speaking about the mobile versions.
Mm-hmm.
I never finish a city in these. Usually I just start one. While I'm waiting for, you know, just killing time and not really playing to win. Again, the mobile versions kind of take the basics of what makes SimCity SimCity. And not much more to say about that one.
Yeah, so SimCity, I've mostly played like SimCity 2000.
Yep.
And that was a long, long, long time ago now.
Here's the problem now. The new one on mobile is called SimCity Builder, which is kind of why I'm trying to find a replacement that's not made by, who is that, EA?
Did you mean SimCity Build It?
Yes.
Is that the game?
Yes, yeah, SimCity okay. Build It. So the problem is now there are microtransactions in it. So you could build a city really fast if you want to give EA some money, which I don't. So...
Mm-hmm. So it's like you have some virtual money in the game and you can buy more virtual money with real money.
I think so. I honestly, with microtransactions, once it's even hinted at, I just ignore it completely. So I don't even know the mechanics. I just know that they want money.
important. This app requires a persistent internet connection. So that means you cannot play it on the airplane.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Includes in-game advertising. Contains direct links to the internet and social networking sites.
Oh, yeah, because you can share stuff. You could do stuff that I never care to do. I do want to give a shout out to another game that I'm going to start playing very soon called Islanders on Steam. I think it's only on Steam. Its tagline is a minimalist city builder. And if you go and watch videos for Islanders, it just looks really charming and simple and relaxing. And so that might be, if we do an episode like this again, that'll probably get in there. But yeah, so that's what I have for SimCity.
So have I complained on this podcast about, like, when did EA become such a complete garbage company?
I don't, if you have, we haven't complained enough.
Yeah, because, like, in 1990, if you were looking at the Sega Genesis section and you saw an EA game, your reaction was, oh, this is probably a pretty good game. They debatably made better games than Sega themselves for the Genesis. Like, the top-selling Genesis games are probably all are EA-branded, you know, because they includes EA Sports.
Yeah.
And so, like, I tried to play Star Wars Battlefront or Battle Stations or whatever it's called on PlayStation 4, and it was just awful. Like, the game starts, and it's like, hey, by the way, you have to accept this, like, 90-page legal agreement before you can start playing this game. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just want to play a game, man. Like, it's just pages and pages of, like, legal text you have to scroll through before you can begin playing the game. So that's already, like, you've already failed.
And
like,
they had a 10-year deal with, Star Wars has a 10-year deal with EA. So I think they still have 1 year left, I want to say, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, maybe Disney will start their own game studio. But, like, they EA, own you one, can tell, like, whatever. LucasArts. Yeah, they own, that's true. They own LucasArts, not that they're doing anything with it. So, like, you can kind of tell, like, at your company, the lawyers have won at that point. When you're no longer interested in making games, like, the focus of the company is really, let's make sure we have lots and lots of legal text before people can do anything. And then every time you try and play the game, it keeps bugging you, like, hey, do you want to sign into the EA network, whatever that is?
Mm-hmm.
And I click no. And then I do a level in the game, and then it pops up again about, do I want to sign to the EA network? And I click no, and then I do something else, and it pops up again. Like, it just needs a button called, I am never going to use the EA network.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I bought Battlefront. I know we're getting on a tangent here, but I bought it really excited, and same feelings you had. But for some reason, I still bought the second one a year or two later, and it was even way worse than the first. So bad that I was flying a TIE fighter and I crashed into something and I should have just exploded. That's what's supposed to happen. Instead, my ship got stuck. This was like 15 seconds into the battle. My ship got stuck and I just had to sit there and wait. At that point, I pulled the disc out and I've never played it again. All they have to do, and this might just be me, but I just want a game where I could get into an X-Wing or a TIE fighter or something, pick a location, and shoot down some spaceships. That's really all I want in a game at all. That's all they need to do. We don't need all this other stuff. People will pay $60 for that. So,
right. And it was called, you know, Star Wars, like, Rogue Leader. That's, or Rebel Strike.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you want.
Exactly. Just on a modern console. Yeah.
You want
with
the
modern controls.
So the other thing I noticed is how EA, because apparently they've lost all ability to develop games, reversed the controls. You can go in and change them. But, like, typically when you are playing a PlayStation game, like, left analog stick is move your sprite, and right analog stick is move camera.
Mm-hmm.
And did you notice that in Battlefront those were reversed?
It's been so long since I played it.
Yeah, so to me, that's just a basic thing. Like, somebody decided to reverse the controls. I don't know why. I'm sure 100% of people immediately flip it back to the old way.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm one of those weird inverse Y stick people. So the first thing I do in every game is set it to what I have to, what I need it at. So maybe I just saw that and instantly changed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my experience with Battlefront. Like I said, I just want to play a Star Wars game. And instead I'm trying to understand if I've just given EA like the rights to my children or something.
I just wish Star Wars would be like, just let like Santa Monica Studios or, who does like Ratchet and Clank, Insomniac Studios. Like give one of them a Star Wars game. I bet it'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Find whoever built Star Fox 64, have them do a Star Wars
game. Yes, please.
Bring them out of retirement. let's see. So my next game, similar to your Solitaire pick, I'm going to go with Hearts for Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So, this was one because way, way back when I was in graduate school, I was taking a class in AI, and one of the AI projects was to build a Hearts player. And then they had a tournament of the various Hearts players that the class built. Again, you know, so that's where that was my first exposure to the game Hearts. Like I'd never even, mm-hmm. I honestly don't think I'd even heard of Hearts. Like I probably had seen it in the menu on Windows and thought, I don't know, whatever that is.
Yeah. An old person's game.
It's an old person. Yes. And then once I learned the rules, I actually really liked the game a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, man, this is actually, cause there's actual strategy to the game. You know, Solitaire, there's a little bit of strategy, but Hearts is actually like real strategy about like, you know, when do you try to maximize points? Do you try and send, you know, like, cause you can basically like try and mess with other players, you know, increase their score. It was something you have to do if you want to win, cause it's a game about trying to get the lowest score possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if someone has fewer points than you, maybe you're actively trying to make sure they get sent more points. So there's some actual thought to it. And yeah, it's still fun little, you know, 5-minute diversion game.
Yeah, yeah. It's still available on the Microsoft Store.
Yes, they don't include it for free anymore. You have to, well, I mean, I guess it's still free, but it's not like included in Windows by default anymore.
Yeah, I don't even know if Solitaire is.
I don't, I think at this point Notepad is considered an optional download.
That's crazy. Calculator is now, which is insane.
Calculator. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Calculator, yeah.
Totally insane. My next one, a game that everyone could take a drink because I say talk about this game every episode. Devil's Crush on TurboGrafx. There's so often where I just need some alone time or you need to, you know, clear your brain. Devil's Crush is my safe place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a great game. I get the music stuck in my head all the time. And it's just not on a TV. You know, I have it emulated on... I own like two of these Hue cards, but I have it emulated on a Vita and a PSP and my DS. You know, it's wherever I could possibly play games.
Okay. Yeah, see, I've never been... I mean, I like the graphic style in this game and I like the music. I've just never been really huge into it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about this game. I turn my mind off and somehow I'm doing really good and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing else to say about it because I talk about it all the time.
So let's see. Another game that I play a lot as a filler game is Ms. Pac-Man. Very, very often I will fire up some version of Ms. Pac-Man. Usually MAME, but not always. And usually play up until about the pretzel stage and then quit.
Hmm. It's just a game where, yeah, you can clear your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I like it a lot better than original Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the variation, I guess, that, you know, you're kind of progressing through different, you know, you're progressing through different stages and you're getting new maps. And I think that's probably part of the appeal. I really can't make it that far into Ms. Pac-Man. It's a game I'm not especially good at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've never been really good at Pac-Man games, strangely. But I still like playing them and, you know, get to whatever, 8 stages, however far I usually get. And then, and then take a break.
I'll probably be playing this one a lot more. I mentioned previously that my kid has been into Pac-Man 256 and kind of learning how to play video games, and his birthday's coming up, and I thought like a nice present would be one of those little Miss Pac-Man portable systems. Is that Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man, or are they both? Like so it looks like a arcade cabinet.
Well, they have both. Yes, if that makes sense. Like what you typically see is Pac-Man, but they do have a Miss Pac-Man mini cabinet.
Oh yeah.
But it's not like the My Arcade one. It's a really deceptive name because they call themselves My Arcade, but this is like the NES ROM in here.
Which is a good port.
Now, this little guy that I also have, it was really small. It's the keychain Miss Pac-Man. This is like the arcade ROM, but it plays like at half speed.
That's hilarious.
So wow. I wish the two companies that license these could get together. Like this might be better off trying to do the NES ROM.
Yeah.
Just because there's NES on a chip, like I realize like the Miss Pac-Man hardware is probably simpler than the NES, but it's not like you can just buy a chip that's an NES at this point.
Yeah. So I will probably be playing Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man a lot in the near future.
Yeah. So it's really my favorite game that has Pac-Man in the title.
Yes, I would. Well, I'm telling you, man, Pac-Man 256, that's a hell of a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some videos of it. I think I watched during Awesome Games Done Quick. I think they did. I think it was Pac-Man 256 they were doing. I always get Pac-Man 256 and Pac-Man Championship Edition.
This is one where you're constantly going up and the glitches are, if you don't go up fast enough, they kind of follow you up there. And you could get different upgrades too.
Then I don't think that's the one I saw on Awesome Games Done Quick.
Yeah, highly recommended. And you picked one extra game than I did.
Yeah, I picked one extra. We didn't agree on how many to pick.
No.
But this would be another kind of like take a drink game. Dr. Mario. I play a lot of Dr. Mario. Lately, you know, NES Classic is kind of a good go-to for that, but often it's also emulator. I don't know why I like Dr. Mario. Like, I'll sort of concede, like, there are better Fallen Brick games. Like, Tetris, I think, is mechanically a better game. But I get this thing about Dr. Mario. I almost called it Mrs. Mario, which would have been a completely different game. Dr. Mario, which is, I don't know, it's like, you played on the really hard stages, and it's kind of frantic. It's really hard, like, if you're trying to tune out for a little bit, it's really hard to think about anything else when you're playing like max level Dr. Mario, because you don't have time to think about anything else.
This is a game I am horrible at and frustrates me, so I just don't play it much. In fact, the last time we played it was when it was a Game Club game. But when did you first play this game? When you were younger?
No, recently, really. Within the past 5 years, probably. I'd seen it and thought, oh, that's just like a bad Mario Tetris knockoff. I'm not ever going to play that. And then I don't remember why I tried it. Something inspired me to try Dr. Mario, probably for the first time. I think it was maybe one of these things where every now and then I look back at like really big, like famous, successful games that I haven't played. Like we all have a list of that, sort of your games of shame, you know, like this is like everybody has played Metroid. How have I never played Metroid? You know, that's a pretty common one. I don't know if that's common. You get my example, right? So Dr. Mario is one of those games that's just like, well, I've really never played this. I might as well finally try it.
Yeah. And this one's on the Switch now also, right?
I think it is, but I don't like it on the Switch very much. That thing about this, remember I have the Switch Mini or Switch Lite, whatever they call it. And yeah, the screen's a little painful for that game.
Interesting, huh? I wonder if you could flip it sideways. Does it have that mode? Because you could. Oh, you can't do that on the Lite.
It's not arcade, right? So it wouldn't necessarily work, I don't think.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, there's our filler games.
Did we get some suggestions from
from listeners? Yeah, from Facebook and Twitter, Zach curated a little list. Sirbri, sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Really sorry. Sirbri. His go-tos are Tetris and Columns, because they're addictive and they help exercise the mind. And he also really likes the Streets of Rage trilogy. It's a great stress relief. I definitely agree with the Streets of Rage trilogy. Mm-hmm. That is one of my go-tos as well.
Yeah, Streets of Rage 2 in particular, I tend to fire up off and on.
What's the one on Sega CD?
That's Final Fight.
Final Fight, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Streets of Rage on Sega CD would have been great because, you know, Streets of Rage games are known for their soundtracks. And, you know, taking that, taking that game and removing all restrictions from the soundtrack would be pretty amazing.
That might be a good port or hack. Yeah, modern. Do it now, even though it wasn't done back then. Yeah.
Yeah. let's see. Samuels also recommends Tetris and Tecmo Bowl, which was his favorite when he was in college. And he always plays as the Raiders because Bo Jackson.
I don't think you're alone there.
Yeah.
And Adam wrote in saying he likes Home Alone on the SNES. It's a guilty pleasure. I have never played that game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of familiar with it. Hey, man, whatever's your thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm assuming you just mess with the Wet Bandits. Is that what they were called?
Yeah, kind of. I think there's an Angry Video Game Nerd episode about it. Or maybe using the Genesis. I think the Genesis and Super Nintendo ones, they've got to be the same game. I'm familiar only with the Genesis one. I mean, it's not... Like, a lot of these movie ports of that era weren't very good, but I can get, like, liking a game that is maybe not super great, but it's still fun to you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I have a lot of those. And this would be a good, maybe around Christmas time, game club game.
All right. Any off-the-cuff ones you want to pick real quick?
No, only because anything else I would mention, I would want to actually be a game club game. So I'm just going to... Just going to let it lie. If anyone has any recommendations or want to tell us what their filler time killer games are, please email us. email@retrogameclub.net.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, sorry for the shorter episode this time interval, however often we release these. Hopefully your basement is going well.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll definitely post some pictures and put them on Facebook and stuff so you can all see what happened. Hopefully they're good.
Yes. All right. So thanks for listening.